This is Dealing with Diabetes, three stories of ethnic communities coping with an epidemic. I'm Pamela Wu. Native Americans are being devastated by diabetes, but the community is taking steps to fight the disease in ways unique to their cultural traditions. Many are realizing their health is directly tied to the choices they make in life. Like at the grocery store, where the choice between broccoli and biscuits could mean the difference between life and death.
All right, everybody, let's come over here.
This superstore in suburban North Sacramento is packed with a mind-boggling 16,000 food products.
Really, there's a lot of choices, so spending some time looking at the different options is a good idea.
That's Kathy Carmichael, a registered dietitian at the Sacramento Native American Health Center. Today, she's leading a group of American Indians through the store. They are all diabetic or related to someone who is. Reporter Pauline Bartolone takes the story from here.
Kathy Carmichael's goal is to teach this group how to make food choices that will help them manage or prevent chronic disease.
We're going to start out in the produce section.
Carmichael stands out from the rest of the group. She's tall, fit, and white. The group of about a dozen Native American folks gather loosely around her. Most of them are older and move slowly. One woman wears turquoise jewelry, another pajama bottoms and slippers. The men wear baseball caps.
So, pumpkins. High-carbohydrate or low-carbohydrate vegetables?
Carmichael weaves aisle to aisle, talking carbohydrates. The more carbs, the higher the blood glucose. That's a danger for diabetics.
Your green beans, your broccoli, your cauliflower, your spinach, those you can pretty much eat as much as you want because the carbohydrates...
Carmichael gives advice about reading labels and eating healthy on a budget. The U.S. Census shows more than a quarter of American Indians live below the poverty level. That's less than $11,000 a year. As they stroll through the oil section, one shopper spots a bucket of lard.
Yeah, that's what we used to eat when we were younger.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
How did you cook it?
Yeah. We saw fried eggs in it, fried meat.
More than 16% of Native American adults in the U.S. have diabetes. That's about twice the rate of the overall population. And nearly one in three Native Americans are in pre-stages of the disease. Type 2 diabetes shortens lives and increases mortality risk. So Carmichael's education here is a matter of life and death.
And I don't go home with everyone and sit at their kitchen table. But I think going to the grocery store, walking together, talking together, that's really where the behavior change begins.
But behavior is not so easy to change. Mary Morla uses a large empty cart as a walking aid as she strolls past the big goods.
I love that. Them donuts.
Mary and some of her family members have been getting Carmichael's nutrition advice for years. But they say grocery store items are expensive. They confess to eating fast food without shame.
It's hard to diet. You never ever heard that word when we were growing up, diet. Now that's the first thing a doctor say when you go see him, diet.
Mary seems to understand her diabetes is related to her choices and her upbringing. But she also describes it as a fate over which she has little control.
We're all going to die one day.
We see the diabetes already taking our eyes, our feet.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
You can tell now it's going to our mind.
And like I said, it's only up to the Lord. When, where, how, time, place. No one can stop it. He got the plan already. That's how I believe it. Yeah, we don't take care of ourselves. We don't diet, we don't exercise, we know the consequences. But sometimes you just say in your mind, you don't give a damn. If it happens, it happens.
The shopping trip is part of what's called a diabetes talking circle. It's a support group led by Carmichael at the Sacramento Native American Health Center.
All right, so let's do our introductions. If you want to share something that you've been working on in managing your life with diabetes, you can share that.
They meet here to share and learn from a mix of peer support and health education.
I'm Salish from Montana. My diabetes is doing really good. I had it for 1990. Level this morning of 89. I checked out this morning. 89.
The Native tradition of the talking circle was adapted by an American Indian health worker to help combat diabetes. One study shows the model helps increase healthcare compliance, decrease feelings of fatalism, and reduce obesity. Kathy Carmichael says 175 people have taken part in the Sacramento Circle since it started a few years ago.
Providing social support is one of the best things we can do as a community health center, because then our community members know they're not going at it alone. And there's most likely someone else in the community who has a similar problem. You know, someone else who lives in a trailer with a small refrigerator, or someone else who has really high blood sugars and cannot figure out how to control them. And I can provide the place, but I think the stories and the information and education that comes from the talking circle is much better than any information that I can provide.
My diabetes has been dormant for 6 years now.
This talking circle is funded through a federal diabetes initiative for Indians. It's one of over 400 Native diabetes programs across the country. The Indian Health Service says since 1997, they have collectively brought down blood sugar and cholesterol levels and improved kidney function in the Native population.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Here in Sacramento, Talking Circle participants are at different levels of disease management and behavior change. Carmichael again.
Motivation is hard for some people. There are so many health problems or environmental problems, familial problems that people are dealing with, and it's a hierarchy of needs. What's going to help me the most today? Sometimes people come in my office and we plan on having a nutrition counseling session, but they don't have any heat. So I help them figure out how to get the heat turned back on, because that's a priority.
Eddie Mendez. I live in Sacramento, California, 39 years old, am Native American, and currently disabled.
Eddie Mendez has been dropping in on the Diabetes Talking Circle for a few years and says it helps to be around other people struggling with the same illness. He's young, but has a lot of wisdom to share with elderly diabetics.
This is my apartment. This is my wheelchairs. I have two wheelchairs.
In his one-bedroom apartment in downtown Sacramento, he talks about growing up with a single mom. He says they didn't have the nutrition education or the income to make healthy choices.
My mom raised me on Kool-Aid and potato chips and stuff like that. I didn't go to the doctors as a kid. My mom worked under the table, and I didn't have health insurance. I had asthma and allergies and earaches a lot. She just, you know, didn't have the means at the time. We were poor.
Eddie was 21 when his doctor broke the news about his diabetes.
He told me it was a very serious illness, that I needed to control my eating, my sugar intakes and carbs and stuff, but I didn't, at that time, didn't care.
For more than a decade, Eddie didn't take care of his diabetes. He says he did everything a diabetic shouldn't do. He ate poorly, smoked, drank, did drugs. He didn't take medication. Then a life-threatening injury changed everything.
I was swimming at the river, walking on barefooted, which your diabetic isn't supposed to do, and I slid on some gravel hill, like we were walking up the hill, and I slid, and it cut off like that much off of my foot. It was 108 that day, so the sand was scorching hot. I didn't feel it because I have neuropathy in my feet, so I got second-degree burns on top of the cut.
High blood sugar can cause nerve damage or neuropathy. That's why Eddie didn't feel the gash on his foot. It led to gangrene in the bone, and he almost died from it. His left leg was amputated below the knee.
I went from being a very active person running amok to a person that was very limited in what I could do. It messed with me a lot emotionally and physically. I mean, it was hard, and it still is hard. Every day of my life is a challenge.
Eddie uses a wheelchair now. He spent last year in and out of the hospital with kidney failure, which led to congestive heart failure.
I could not breathe. Every time I lay down, I was drowning in my own liquids in my lungs because of all the fluids I had retained. I was in the hospital for a week that time, and that's when they said, Eddie, you need dialysis. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it, because that's a lifetime thing, and I don't want. He's like, either will you die or you go on dialysis. And I was like, no, I said, I don't want to do it. My mom came in, she was crying. My cousins came in and were crying, and my sisters, and they made me realize, they're like, Eddie, we don't want you to die and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't want to die either, really.
Eddie made a tough decision, He chose life. Half his days are spent in kidney dialysis now. The rest of the time, he recovers at his government-subsidized apartment in downtown Sacramento.
These are all my medications that I got to take every morning.
He's on disability and Social Security income.
Every time I eat, I have to take these pills to my phosphorus and my...
Eddie's diabetes is under control, but the damage has been done. He takes a dozen medications every day to stay alive. The pill bottles are strewn across his kitchen counter.
These are more of the same eating pills. Sleeping pills.
People don't realize that diabetes is the silent killer. Like, it really will catch up with you. You know, I sit there and dwell sometimes, if I would have, could have, whatever. But, you know, you can't do that. Now you just got to live forward and do what you have to do to better your life.
You made it on time. Go ahead, write your name in. Flip it over and write it on the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eddie has found ways to give back. Twice a week, he volunteers at his apartment building for a program that serves food to low-income seniors.
Nicholson, right?
Yeah.
How many plates do we have?
25.
When I lost my leg and when I came here, they were so accepting of me. And at the time of that, I needed it. So I feel now I'm here for them. Two more plates.
Eddie is clearly in his element at the registration table. He knows everyone who walks in by name.
Al's diabetic. Robert's an alcoholic diabetic. I don't want to say John's diabetic. John's, he's 86 years old. He lives his life freely. Like, I'm going to eat what I want anyways. I've lived this long.
He sits comfortably at the table, looking around at the characters slowly populating the room.
I get a fulfillment from seeing, like, all their different faces, different personalities, knowing that I'm doing a good deed.
Eddie often uses a wheelchair, but today he's walking with a slight hobble on a prosthetic limb. He stands to walk back to his apartment, and his broad shoulders tower over people sitting in the lobby. He makes them smile as he walks past.
You can ask Kent, he's diabetic, and I'm his doctor.
That's right. He's good.
I gave him some valuable information that saved his life.
I've given up all those things that I loved so much. It's still in my environment, like that stuff is still accessible to me at the stores, but I chose not to partake in giving into those things. So your environment does play a very big role in your decisions, but it always comes back to you. What do you want? What can you do? What is your choice?
Eddie Mendez is certainly not alone with his diabetes. Native American adults have one of the highest rates of the disease in the U.S. at 16%. Helen Maldonado is the California Area Diabetes Consultant for the Federal Indian Health Services Program. She says there's no single explanation for the higher rates among Native Americans, but there are known contributing factors, including genetics or epigenetics, conditions in the womb, and lifestyle and stress. Maldonado says diabetes has been devastating to American Indians, but there are healthcare interventions that bring hope.
Many people watch their family members die from diabetes or lose limbs or go through dialysis. It's been an epidemic with Native people.
We heard about the talking circles in the story. Also in the story, we heard one woman express resignation, really, about the fact that she had diabetes. She said she thought that it was part of God's plan. So do you hear this kind of fatalism, this sort of resignation that fate is predetermined in Native communities? And if so, how do you deal with it?
Yes, I've heard that quite a bit as a provider, and I always have to give the message of hope. Mm-hmm. We do have a program called the Diabetes Prevention Program in the Indian Health Service. There are 36 programs in the country that have been demonstrating that intensive lifestyle change has prevented diabetes in people. And also there's another initiative called the Healthy Heart. So people with diabetes are able to, with an intensive 16-week program, prevent any kind of heart disease.
Another one of the stories in the segment was about a man, Eddie, who says he didn't have access to medical care until he was an adult. Is this something that you hear a lot in the Native American community? And how does it come into play with the diabetes rates?
People have had access to care, mm-hmm. There are Indian Health Service units across the country. In California, we only have tribal programs and urban programs. If they don't have access to care, that really does affect people dealing with diabetes. You need to have health care. You need to be able to get medication or whatever you need to take care of yourself. Currently, California is funded at 52.6% of the need. So there's a large unmet need for Indian health. It's something that affects all Native people. They may have a clinic that they can go to, but maybe they don't have enough gas money to get there.
It's very multi-layered.
Yes.
What are some of the cultural attitudes that might help diabetes management in the Native community? And on the flip side, are there also cultural attitudes that might hinder the management?
Talking circles are really good, and traditional dances and ceremonies. Prayer and being balanced in mind, body, and spirit really help. Hindrances, I think, is when community members or medical providers are not able to recognize their own behaviors based in historical trauma, and they make decisions that affect others. So they've forgotten their traditions. And I think the traditional way of dealing with illness or wellness is really important for all Native people to understand.
Research does suggest that culturally relevant care models can be the most successful in managing the diabetes epidemic. So what does culturally relevant care look like for the Native community?
It's patient-centered care designed around what the community wants. They would give their voice to the healthcare program saying, this is what we want from you. And to be able to hold their community gatherings, to be able to come together and have a relationship with a healthcare provider.
Helen Maldonado is the California Area Diabetes Consultant for the Indian Health Service. You'll find full-length interviews with health experts, including Helen Maldonado, facts about diabetes, and a video profile of Eddie Mendez at capradio.org/dealingwithdiabetes. Diabetes isn't a health problem just for America's oldest established populations, but for one of its newest, too. The fast-paced, fast-food American lifestyle can be tough on refugees. What traditional cultures have to teach us about healthy living, next on Dealing with Diabetes from Capital Public Radio.